You are Locked On Orioles, your daily Baltimore Orioles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back in to Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Connor Newcomb. Well, it is our last episode of 2020, the year in which I started hosting the pod all the way back in January. We'll be back with you on Friday, but it'll be January 1st by then, and we will be into a new year. Now, we could do an episode here on December 30th, looking back at our favorite moments of the year that was 2020, but I don't think anyone wants to look back on this year in any kind of positive light. So instead, we just keep chugging along here in the Orioles offseason. Of course, there have been a lot of moves made elsewhere in baseball this week. If you've been paying attention at all, the San Diego Padres got a whole lot better this week. Of course, we talked about it Monday. They made the trade for Blake Snell, sending four of their top prospects over to the Rays to get a new ace. Well, arguably the next day, they may have gotten a starting pitcher who's even better and may now be their ace, as Padres acquired Yu Darvish from the Cubs in exchange for Zach Davies, the former Orioles prospect, and four younger guys as well in that trade. They also signed Ha-Sung Kim, the top player coming over from the KBO this season, a middle infielder who played for the Kiwoom Heroes over in Korea last couple of years. Big-time bat, solid defender. He looks to be a pretty good player. And the Padres are going to add him. Looks like he'll probably play second for San Diego, but he'll be in the mix for a Padres team that has now built an incredibly good rotation for the years going forward. I mean, you got to remember, they traded for Mike Clevinger this year. He's getting Tommy John. He's going to be out all of 2021, but they have him signed through 22, so he'll be back with potentially Darvish and Snell and Denelson Lamet, who broke out to look like an ace this year. And, you know, Mackenzie Gore, one of the top prospects in baseball, the Padres' number one prospect, the left-handed pitcher, could be ready by sometime this season to come up. You know, they still got Chris Paddock, who had a really down year this year, but has some good stuff, could be their number five starter. A lot of options in San Diego to add to, of course, Fernando Tatis, Manny Machado, Wayne Kirby, Bobby Dickerson, Ryan Flaherty. The Orioles West are looking a whole lot better after this week. But today, we focus on the Orioles and a move they made this offseason, obviously to a much, much lesser scale, but we focus on what the Orioles have done because they've made some minor league signings, and one of those signings is Nick Schufo, a catcher who was drafted by the Tampa Bay Rays. He was a first-round pick, 21st overall in the 2013 Major League Baseball draft out of Charleston, South Carolina. Now, Schufo was a huge prospect in high school and even in middle school in the South Carolina area and in the Charleston area in specifically. His dad worked in the athletic department at the College of Charleston for years, and Nick was around the program forever, getting to know guys like Brett Gardner, who was, of course, a walk-on for the Charleston Cougars and is now still in the big leagues with the Yankees. But Schufo was around baseball for so long in South Carolina, he committed to the University of South Carolina to play for the Gamecocks, one of the best programs in the country, at age 14. Almost 5 years before he was set to walk onto campus, he committed to play at South Carolina. So people knew his name when he was very, very young. And at least through high school, he lived up to the expectations, and he didn't even make it to South Carolina. Was drafted again by the Rays, first round, 21st overall in 2013 out of high school. Took that big signing bonus and signed with the Rays. And there were some big expectations for Schufo. He came in 18 years old, went to rookie ball in 2013, and you know, had a solid year to finish off that year. And then 2014, you know, he's still 19 years old in his first full professional season. So they sent him to the Appy League in Princeton, another short season team, and he does all right again. And then, you know, finally by 2015, he comes in 20 years old. They send him to full season ball. He goes to single-A Bowling Green, and with the Hot Rods, has a pretty solid season with the bat and behind the plate. And then, you know, things started to unravel just a little bit for him. He went to the Australian League that winter in 2015, suffered an injury there, and missed a little time in 2016 when he returned to the Rays. Finally, he went to High A Charlotte and had some solid numbers, but was pushed back a bit by the injury. Went to the Arizona Fall League in the fall of 2016 with some of the best prospects in baseball, and really did not fare well. Hit just 190 in 21 games, but the Rays did send him to Double-A at age 22 in 2017. He spent the whole year in Double-A Montgomery, 417 plate appearances. He had a 704 OPS with seven home runs, gave him good defense, and I think it was solid enough for the Rays that season. So in 2018, he ends up in Triple-A, and with the Durham Bulls, he played in 60 games. He hit 262. He had five homers, the OPS at 681, but he did enough to get his shot. So at age 23, the Rays called him up in the middle of that 2018 season. He ended up playing 16 games with the Rays in 2018. He got 44 plate appearances. He was 7 for 37 at the dish. He had a double, a home run, but of course the average only at 189. That home run, however, did come against the Orioles. He hit it off of Dylan Bundy back in 2018 at the Trop, still his only big league home run. So he got that small chance because of some injuries to some Rays catchers that year, but spent most of the year in AAA. So he came back in 2019, and again, he started the year AAA Durham, and the numbers weren't great in 34 games in 2019 with the Bulls, and he got one more shot with the Rays. They called him up, and it wasn't much of a shot, but he played three more games. He got six plate appearances. He went 1 for 6 with a single and three strikeouts, and that was that for the Rays. At age 24, they had seen, you know, altogether 19 games and 50 plate appearances at the big league level from a former first-round pick. And the Rays thought that was enough, and they released him, letting Chufo go in the middle of the 2019 season. He was scooped up by the Reds in 2019. They sent him to AAA. It was very late in the year. He played seven games, really altogether played 12 games in the Reds system to finish off 2019, and then was a free agent. And he caught on with the Rangers on a minor league deal last year and went to spring training before COVID and was hitting the ball really well. Multiple writers who cover the Texas Rangers were writing stories about Chufo and, you know, his past as a top prospect. And he was showing things with the Rangers. And there was a thought that he could be the Rangers' number two catcher coming out of spring training. He was hitting the ball much better than he ever had. He was always known as a defense-first guy with the bat lagging a little bit behind. A left-handed hitter is Chufo. But he was looking really good, and the thought was that he might make the team with Texas. Of course, then the season gets shut down. It comes back. Of course, he's in the alternate site with the Rangers, but the bat was not the same despite the revamped stance he had, revamped swing, and everything was looking a whole lot better with the Rangers. So with that all said, you know, why not for the Orioles take a shot at him? So last week, the Orioles signed Chufo to a minor league deal. He'll get an invite to big league spring training, and he will get a chance to try and make this Orioles team. Of course, Pedro Severino and Chance Sisko are back as the catching options for the Orioles, and you look behind them, you've got, you know, guys like Taylor Davis in the minor leagues. You got Brett Cumberland coming through the system. You know, we'll see if Austin Wins makes his way back to the organization. We'll see if the Orioles maybe sign another veteran guy. But Chufo's going to have a chance. And if the rosters are expanded again, there's a good chance the Orioles will keep three catchers like they did last year. And despite Sisko and Severino pretty much being set in their spots on the roster, if there's a third catcher spot, Nick Chufo is definitely going to be able to compete for that spot. But the revamp swing is good news because he hasn't been a great hitter in his career, but maybe that's coming for the former first-round pick. But, you know, we can read you his stats all we want, but, you know, you really want to get what happened to Chufo from someone who, you know, pays attention closely to the Rays and especially the Rays minor league teams and their organization and their prospects as a whole. So joining us here after the break is going to be Matt Germain. He writes about baseball a whole lot of places, specifically the Rays over at places like D-Rays Bay and Rays Colored Glasses, a couple of different places over at SB Nation and FanSided. But Matt Germain covers the Rays system pretty closely and knows a lot about Nick Chufo because he was a top prospect in that system for a while and was a first-round pick. So coming up after the break, Matt's going to join us to talk about Nick Schufo, what he was with the Rays, and what he could be with the Orioles. Remember, you know, maybe a bit of a flamed out prospect, but he's still only 25 years old, and he's got a lot of baseball ahead of him. So we talk about that with Matt Germain coming up after the break. Of course, we're talking baseball here on the pod, but it's right around New Year's, and that means it's college football bowl season. As the bowl season, big matchups coming up this week. Also, you got the NFL regular season finishing up with the playoff picture becoming clear, week 17 coming up on Sunday. But there's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust. That is betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus. So you look ahead to Friday, college football playoff semifinals on Friday, and let's take a look at the first game, the 4 o'clock game between Alabama and Notre Dame, the Rose Bowl being played in Dallas. The betonline.ag line, Alabama minus 20. Book thinking the Tide maybe going to blow out the Irish. We'll see if that happens, but Alabama minus 20. A lot of points there for a college football playoff semifinal. But if you're looking to place a wager, maybe get some extra money in your pocket, don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit at betonline.ag. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And the Locked On Orioles podcast also brought to you by Built Bar. Now, you knew Built Bar with its 12 OG flavors like raspberry, German chocolate, double chocolate, toffee, almond, and others. But they've got 6 brand new flavors as well. They're switching it up a little bit. They got cookies and cream, carrot cake, apple, almond, crisp as well. Of course, they're covered in 100% chocolate, soft and easy to chew. But here's the big thing. You bite into one, tastes just like you're eating a candy bar. But the thing is, they're healthy as well. These bars are good for you, and they are delicious. Low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high in fiber. Take a look at the peanut butter bar. Everything with peanut butter, always delicious. It's got 19 grams of protein, just 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, and 5 grams of net carbs. So if you're looking to get these delicious and healthy protein bars, go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 20% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. All right, so we welcome Matt Germain into the podcast. You can see his writings and a lot of good baseball content on his Twitter account at @Matt_Germain_. Also see him writing at Rays Colored Glasses, at D-Rays Bay, a lot of different places. But Matt, first of all, thank you so much for joining the podcast.
Not a problem at all. My pleasure.
And so we bring you on to talk about one of the newest Orioles as the O's signed Nick Schufo to a minor league contract last week. And of course, we bring you on to talk about his time with the Rays organization because he spent a lot of time in that organization, was a first round pick of the Rays in 2013. But he really barely played at the major league level. So, you know, I know this is kind of a big picture question, but I want to start with this. You know, he's a first round pick of the Rays out of high school, and he leaves the organization with only 19 games at the big league level. I'm assuming, you know, people who follow and cover this Rays team kind of consider him as a bust as far as, you know, high draft picks go.
Yeah, unfortunately, things didn't go as planned for Nick with the Rays. To be quite honest, all the way through 2017, it seemed like everything was amping up the way that they had expected. Because when he first joined, what everybody noted about him was his power was something that attracted them at the position. His defensive abilities, they were pretty sure, were going to be able to get developed over time. The one thing that they weren't sure was how much he was going to hit and how long it was going to take to basically get him up to MLB. But they were pretty sure that he would be a solid enough catcher at the MLB level, and that's why they gave him $1.9 million when they signed him. And through the first years, as expected, he ended up having a little bit of a lackluster time at the plate, ended up with sub-600 OPSs. He also went to the ABL, broke his finger over there. after having, you know, a pretty decent time grooming pitchers down there and trying to improve his defensive game. So he was putting in the work to improve himself. But then something happened in 2018 after probably after his best season in 2017. He had been a postseason All-Star in the Southern League, Defensive Player of the Year for the second time with the Rays. So everything was looking on the up and up. Actually had a really good offensive time. He had like a 700 OPS, 37 extra base hits, and 417 plate appearances. Only struck out 23% of the time. And then he had a suspension in 2018. So I don't know if the success he had in 2017 and 2018. His suspension in 2018 was his second one. The Rays really didn't like that one. It ended up hitting him pretty hard. And his dad, I don't know if you guys know much about it, but his dad's active vocally of up to that point anyways, his dad, Tony. And they seem to have a really hard time with the event, obviously. So when Nick said probably one of the worst things that he had to do was let his dad know what had happened. And so at that point, the Rays, Eric Neander was with them as a GM at the time. He said they were disappointed by the events that took place. They hope that he reassesses his priorities. And so then at that point, things seemed to go a little bit downhill with the Rays, obviously. It seemed to impact his play. He ended up with a hard time going through the beginning of 2019, and even though they gave him a shot to kind of prove himself with a couple of games at the MLB level, I sent you the link to his past ball occurrences there in the few games that he did get, and it just seemed like whatever work he had put in just wasn't going to be enough with the Rays, and they were really frustrated with what they were seeing from him. So they both needed a change of scenery and kind of a reset for Nick. So essentially, that's the play-by-play of how he got through his time with the Rays. It seemed to be going in the right direction, right on top of the suspensions, which, to be quite honest, with what we know now for drugs and whatnot and marijuana getting legalized everywhere, it probably would not be an issue even now, depending on what the club's policy is on different drugs and what they would and wouldn't allow. But I think with the Rays, it was more the lapse of judgment on his part and not taking the opportunity he had seriously. And I don't know how much you know about the Rays organization, but they've had a lot of those issues before in the past, from Josh Sale to Justin O'Connor, Ryan Brett, Brandon Martin, Elijah Dukes, Delman Young. They've had enough experience to know when they're in trouble when it comes to those kinds of issues with players and how to address them. So that's it in a nutshell.
Yeah, and you talk about the suspension, you know, whatever a suspension is for, you know, the one thing it can do, no matter how well you're playing leading up to it, is, you know, there's 50 games, 80 games, whatever the amount of time is, where it gives everyone else at your position more of a chance to fight for those spots at the big league level while you're forced to sit on the sideline. Did you feel like, you know, how much of an impact was it just the fact that, you know, for a chunk in that season, he was not able to compete, and there were other, you know, young catchers who were vying for that spot, and you know, the club got to see them play and didn't get to see Nick?
It's tough with a catcher, because catcher is such a demanding position when it comes to the game planning and getting involved with the pitchers and being a little bit all over the place with the pitching coaches, et cetera. So I can't speak for Nick and what he went through and what anybody goes through when they're fighting for those kinds of opportunities. I do know that when they go to spring training, they get time to kind of work with all the coaches, all the staff, and to get familiar with all of them. And when he did get to reset, go away, go back, come back again with the Rangers, he had a pretty decent spring. I was looking up his stats just today before talking to you, and I was like, you know, he went there and he seemed to have a decent, you know, time at the plate. He actually got 7 hits and 17 at-bats, I think. He only struck out 3 times, had a walk. So it seemed like his bat was coming around. I don't know how he did defensively, But he's going to have to put in the work. Even though, like, his arm, whatever the Orioles get, they're going to get a guy that can shut down the running game. I think you guys have Cumberland as well. He can do the same thing now, too. So if they do end up being a tandem in AAA, there are two guys that are going to shut down the running game no matter what. If the focus is there and they put in the work, if he actually gets to know the staff enough and works with the pitching coaches and can actually get enough at bats, there's no doubt in my mind that he can be an MLB catcher. I actually had compared him before in the past to Francisco Cervelli. I think that he's somebody like that that can blossom later on in his career because the defensive game is so strong, aside from the pass ball issues. But I think that's just a lack of focus because of the pressure he was putting himself in. But I think there's enough there that I actually have a running bet with one of the guys that I tweet with on about the Rays, where he said if 5 years from the date that we had made the bet, he gets above of 85 WRC plus, he'll buy me a jersey. And if he doesn't, I have to buy him a jersey. So I do have faith in Nick's bat will come around if he gets the opportunities. The question is, can he do enough defensively to get himself those at bats? So it'll be interesting if he gets that opportunity with the Orioles. And I think you guys have had good success with some of the revamps. When it comes to catchers, Pedro Severino is a good example of that.
Yeah, he was, you know, he Severino, as you mentioned, struggled a little bit down the stretch this year, but he was playing at an all-star level for a good chunk of this season. And you know, for Schufo, the other kind of thing is, you know, in the Rays system, he was a first-round pick, and I think, you know, the first couple years there, people thought he'd be the starting catcher of the future. The Orioles have Adley Rutschman, their number one prospect, who is set to be the starting catcher probably by the end of this season. So there's not nearly as much pressure on Schufo. You know, he's just kind of fighting to be Rutschman's backup, essentially. But Matt, the last thing I have for you is, you know, he got 19 games of work in Tampa in the big leagues. You know, he got 44 plate appearances in 2018. And you mentioned, you know, he got one little sliver of a chance, six more plate appearances in 19 before they let him go. So, you know, Rays fans and people who cover the team got to see just a little chunk of it for him at the big league level. So, you know, when the Rays officially made the move to release him last July, you know, how much of the reaction is, you know, this was time, it wasn't working out, or, you know, how much of it was, you know, this guy was a first round pick, he's still only 25, and maybe that decision was made too soon?
Rays just before Neander got there, invested so much in so many catchers. I mean, they had Justin O'Connor, who they gave over $1 million to. Chris Betts, they gave $1.5 million to. And then Schufo is another one. They just seemed to be a little too aggressive in trying to find that franchise catcher some way, somehow. That I think it made them antsy to do that. And when Neander came in, he kind of reset it and said, no, we need older catchers that are seasoned, that have had the time to develop. And if you look at the timeline of catchers, their prime is between 28 and 32. That's when they're at their best offensively and defensively, because they've had the time to digest all the defensive things of the game, which can really be huge pressure. That's why it's so impressive when a catcher comes in so young and does well right away. That's something that people take note of and go, wow, this is incredible. And I think Nick, because of the issues he had off the field, put way too much pressure on himself and distracted himself. And maybe he had too much success and he needed that kind of smack in the face to kind of say, no, you need to refocus and put the work in here. So maybe this will be good for him. Like I said, I still have faith in his abilities to get there if he puts in the work, for sure.
Yeah, and Orioles fans hoping as well. You know, they're looking for another young catcher, and you know, if he can figure it out in Baltimore, they can pair him with Rutschman and have a couple of nice catchers for the future. And you know, you mentioned Francisco Cervelli. That guy's been on a lot of winning teams in his career. And you know, there's something to it when he's on a ball club. And the Orioles will definitely take a guy like that. But Matt, thank you so much for joining us and telling us a little bit about Nick Schufo, the former Rays first round pick who is now with the Orioles. I know you've had a lot to digest in the last 24 hours involving the Rays, so I thank you for coming on and taking a little bit of that time to talk about Schufo.
Not a problem at all. It was my pleasure. And yeah, it's been a lot of fun. when you're trying to weigh all the big trades they make every all season, you know they're coming. You have a lot of fun when they do. That's all.
So again, our thanks to Matt Germain, who covers all things minor leagues in the Rays system over at places like D-Rays Bay for SB Nation and others. You can find Matt on Twitter at Matt_Germain_. That's at Matt, MAT_Germain, GERMAIN_. He's got a lot of good Rays system content that he is producing pretty much every day over at that account. So a good follow if you're interested in the Rays system, which was already the number one system in baseball. And of course, they just got four more big time prospects acquired for Blake Snell the other day. But the guy we talked about, Nick Schufo, who spent a long time in that Rays system, you know, it was interesting to hear how, you know, he was never a bat first guy, but maybe the defense as well was a little shaky when he got those, you know, two different chances at the big league level in 2018 and 2019. And that also had something to do with why the Rays released him. Maybe, you know, they were always hanging their hat on the defense and it, you know, wasn't there as much as they thought. But I think the big thing for the Orioles is how good the bat looked with Texas in spring training last year, the revamped swing, and that's what you're looking for because, you know, it's never a bad idea to take a chance on a former first-round pick, especially if you can get him in on just a minor league deal and see what you got. If it doesn't work out, you know, maybe he just sticks in AAA with Norfolk or he, you know, finds another team. There's no spot on a roster for him. But a low-risk, high-reward potential move for the Orioles, and that's the kind of moves that they've been making over the last couple of years and the moves that Mike Elias is going to continue to make here the next year or two before the Orioles hopefully maybe get back to winning some baseball games here down the road. Because, you know, as we know, the Orioles, they're trying to save some money, have some extra money in their pocket. If you're trying to put a little bit of extra money in your pocket, maybe looking to place a wager on some games this week. Of course, college football bowl season, and we got the NFL Week 17 this weekend, NBA and college basketball here as well. And betting on all those sports doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks and quick-hitting advice to make the smartest possible wagers. Subscribe to the Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get your podcasts. And Lee over there at Locked On Bets, he's had a winning day every single day since the podcast has launched a couple of weeks ago. So good advice over there if you're trying to get a little bit of extra money. Again, Locked On Bets, you can get it wherever you find this podcast as well. But we on Locked On Orioles are going to be back with you on Friday. But it'll be a new year when we rejoin you. It'll be 2021. So put all this 2020 behind you if you can. We're really not going to be starting fresh, but if it helps you to think that way, maybe a little bit when we're back here on Friday. So we will see you next year. Till then, this has been the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.